poem. It's called Cloud Rider. Mount your cloud, dear. Cirrus, wisp high above. Cumulus, cotton wool. Stratus, lobes, layers. Cumulus, thunder giant.
Mm.
Hold firm the reins. Hold firm the reins and direct their path. Guide me through mountain tracks and dark valleys. When thunder rolls, let me hear your still small voice. And if the rain falls, let me be refreshed.
Amen. Amen.
Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Morning, Ali.
Nice to see you all today. So today, I felt if I was going to give a title to today's message, it would be, "The Ball is in Our Court." So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the sunshine. We thank you, Lord, that this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And Father, we thank you for your word, your precious word, Lord God, that speaks a living word into our hearts, into our souls. I thank you, Lord, that your word changes our lives, Lord. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you will use your word today to work in us, Lord, according to your good purpose, Father. And Father, I pray, Lord, that every word that comes out of my mouth, Lord, will be from your throne of grace, Lord. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you will be honored and glorified in this place today. In the mighty name of Jesus, I ask it. Amen.
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 Okay. So, I really felt on my heart this word almost came as a confirmation from what Bill brought last week, and it's almost like a kind of follow-on that I felt God wanted me to bring from that. And so with that in mind, we're going to turn to Jeremiah chapter 1, and we're going to read the chapter there of Jeremiah. Okay. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anath in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, the king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the day of Jeshobeam, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Joash, the king of Judah, until the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before I sanctified you, I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Then said I, "Ah, Lord God, I cannot speak, for I'm only a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am a youth,' for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whoever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. I'm just going to leave it there, because that was the passage that really, the sentence that really leapt out to me. The Lord saying, for I am ready to perform my word.
Amen.
I just felt that's Amen. Just really a now word for us today as a church.
Amen.
I am ready to perform my word. That's what the Lord is saying to us. Now, Jeremiah, he was a very reluctant prophet, both initially and at the time, throughout his ministry, in fact, as time went on. But through it all, Jeremiah remained faithful to his calling in spite of great rejection and opposition. Like, for example, we read in Jeremiah 20, verse 9, Jeremiah couldn't hold back. And he says, then I said, I will not make mention of him or speak any more in his name. He was at the point of giving up there. And then he says, but his word was in my heart, like a burning fire that was shut up in my bones.
Yes.
I was weary of holding it back and I could not.
Amen.
He was just, he just had to let it out. God's word was just burning, just like a fire in his heart, and he just couldn't contain it. He just had to go forth and do what God had told him to do. Now, in the time of Jeremiah, Israel was divided into two kingdoms. There was the north, and then there was the south. Now, the southern kingdom was known as Judah.
Yes.
And Jeremiah lived about 3 miles from the city of Jerusalem in a wee place called Anuth. And this is where the priestly descendants of Aaron lived. And from his home, he would have still been able to see in the far distance the city walls of Jerusalem. Now, although he was from the tribe of Benjamin and his father, Hilkiah, was a priest, that meant that Jeremiah's life was pretty much mapped out for him. He was expected to be a priest, and he would have been in training for that role his whole life up until that point. And that was the expectancy of what he was going to be doing. And as a result, he would have been only too aware of the moral and the spiritual decline of the nation. And with a priestly heart, he would be interceding on behalf of the people of Israel and Judah. He would be interceding on their behalf. And they had, of course, turned their backs on God, and they were following different idols and just doing their own thing and just taking nothing at all to do with God anymore. And so this would have been heavy on Jeremiah's heart. He would have been pleading on behalf of the people to God, and God saw Jeremiah's heart, just like God saw David's heart. And although his family saw his future in the priesthood, God came along with a different calling for his life. It was like God was moving him from a place of bringing the people before the Lord in prayer to take a huge step in a different direction and actually go out to the people with his word. Now, this call in his life would have been very difficult for Jeremiah on many levels. He would have to change direction in his life, which would have been frowned upon, especially by his family, and it would have led to much rejection in his life from those that were closest to him, and also fellow priests, but that was part of the cost of his calling. And when the Lord spoke to him initially, saying these great words, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart as a prophet to the nations." God was revealing to him that it was only at the point of his birth that his parents recognized that he was a boy and therefore he would be a priest. But God got there long before his parents. His heavenly father knew him long before his very existence. And just like God knew us long before our very existence. And God was using this past training that he had from his birth until this point for the higher calling that he had planned for him all along for his future. Now, Jeremiah was understandably a bit gobsmacked, and he gives two immediate excuses, which we often can do, very guilty of it myself. When God tells me to do something, you know, I always feel really quite inadequate, and I always have excuses. And so here were his excuses. "I don't know how to speak, and I am only a child." Now, it's estimated that Jeremiah would have been between 17 and 20 years old when the Lord called him. So he was relatively young, and he didn't feel old enough to take on such a responsibility. A bit like David, the young shepherd boy, when the prophet Samuel came along and he was told by the Lord to go out to Jesse and to anoint one of his sons to become the future king of Israel. And so Samuel goes along to Jesse and he tells him this. So Jesse goes and lines up all his sons who are all serving in Saul's army. They've been trained soldiers, they look the part, and Samuel goes to the oldest one. "No, doesn't seem to be him. No, it's not him, it's not him." And he goes through the whole lot. And Samuel is like really puzzled, and he says to Jesse, "Well, don't you have any other sons?" And Jesse says, well, there's only David, but you know, he's out tending the sheep, he's just a boy. And he says, "Bring him here," you know, and sure enough, you know, he was the one. Amen. And it doesn't matter how old we are, that's Hallelujah. Irrelevant to God. You know, God will use who he chooses, because God sees the heart. And that's what he's interested in. He sees the heart. Now, there were many hardships that Jeremiah had to go through. God said he wasn't to marry, so he would never have experienced what it was like to be a husband. He would never experience what it was like to be a father. And he was 40 years. He was to go and he was to prophesy over the nation, where everybody rejected what he had to say. Nobody listened to him. That was tough.
Yes.
Imagine that. Imagine if you have given up everything for your calling for God, and nobody is listening to a thing you're saying. How discouraging that would be.
Mm-hmm.
And he was thrown into prison. He was even thrown down a well and left to die, you know. But God promised that he would rescue him. And he did so just as he promised. And he sent Ebed-Melech to come and rescue him out of that well. And just as he rescued Jeremiah, he'll also rescue us when we're faithful to his calling.
Yes.
So God addresses both of Jeremiah's excuses and genuine fears and the circumstances. And he replies, don't say I'm only a child. And this story comes to mind when we were on holiday recently in the summer. We were walking along, I think it was when we were in Durham, and we were walking along the street, and this little boy, couldn't have been more than 4 or 5, came towards us with a huge smile on his face and said, hello, and he was really, really cute. And he just said, this is for you. And he handed us a gospel tract with a big beaming smile on his face. And we just said, oh, thank you very much, you know. And you couldn't possibly, he was just so cute and endearing, you couldn't possibly have said to him, oh, I don't want that, and, you know, you just didn't want to make him cry or anything like that. He was so lovely, you know, and so it was just so, it was so nice, and he got away with that. So God can use people, doesn't matter how old they are. God was using this little boy to reach people, and I just thought that was so encouraging. And an adult probably couldn't get away with that.
No.
So God addresses Jeremiah's fear. In order to fulfill God's calling, he would have had to step out from under the protection of his family, step out from under the protection of the priesthood into a totally new realm alone. That's scary. But God steps into his fear and says, don't say I'm a child, I can't do this. Don't speak to the negative and feed the fear. He tells him not to be afraid.
Amen.
To go where he says to go, to mm-hmm. do and to say what he says to see, to say. And he says, do not be afraid and do not fear, for I will rescue you. I'll be with you. Where have you heard that before?
Mm.
When he studied and learned the Torah, when God called Moses and Joshua, and God spoke these words to us as a fellowship in the past as well too before. You know, that, you know, God will be with us. We're not to be afraid.
Amen.
Yeah? And the Lord addresses his other fear. I don't know how to speak. And watch what the Lord does. The Lord graciously, personally reaches out his own hand and he touches Jeremiah's lips and says to him, I have put my words in your mouth. At that point, God, the great I Am, was plugging Jeremiah directly into the source, like we were hearing last week, giving Jeremiah God's words to speak out.
Mm.
And he says, today I have appointed you to be a prophet to the nations and kingdoms, to uproot and to destroy, to uproot and tear down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant.
Amen.
That was his calling. And God begins training him by asking him a question. He says to Jeremiah, "What do you see?" Prophecy is God revealing something to us, and when God reveals something to us, the thing that we must ask God is, who is this word for? That's important. And as we're in a personal relationship with God, most of the time when he speaks to us, it's actually directly for us,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes maybe we're perhaps interceding for a particular person that God's laid on our hearts, and God will reveal a word for them or a strategy on how to pray into their situation. And sometimes it's for a group of people that God wants to convey his message to. And it's important to know the difference, because it's a bit like, for example, my natural father, who loves me and has the authority as my dad to speak into my life, and he often will, with his years of wisdom, give me some very valuable personal advice. But that advice pertains to me and my situation at that time. And it would be irrelevant for me to share that with my sister as being a word from my dad to her.
Correct.
You understand?
Yes.
So it's good to confirm with the Lord and be clear who God is directing his word to.
Amen.
Before actually sharing it.
Yes, hallelujah.
Now, God was very clear with Jeremiah about who he was calling him to share his word to. He was to be a prophet to the nations. Now, there were many hardships that Jeremiah had to go through in order to fulfill his calling, as we listed before. And yet he was faithful to his calling. You know, I remember, like, for example, reading about the Sunday school teacher. She had been faithful teaching Sunday school all her life. She had been doing that all her life. And she said, you know, this week in, week out, I was really praying, you know, every week what to bring to the children. I was just dedicated to this. And she says, in all the years I taught Sunday school, there was only one boy that got saved that I know of that gave his life to the Lord. And that's what she said at an old age, you know. And that was just latterly in the time of serving as a Sunday school teacher. But you know who that wee boy was? Billy Graham. You know? And of course, he read millions and millions of people to the Lord. So it's incredible what God can do. And sometimes you don't see the fruit at the time. But if you are faithful,
amen,
to God's calling in your life, God will be faithful. He is faithful to those who are faithful. And just stick in there. Do what God has told you to do. Say what God has told you to say, despite of what's going on. It doesn't matter. Just stick in there, because God's got you. He'll rescue you. He's for you. He's not against you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Okay. So God was warning the people through Jeremiah to turn from their sin and back to God. But they refused to listen. And as a result, the people were taken into captivity by the Babylonians. And so after all that hardship and suffering, yet remaining faithful to God, I'm sure Jeremiah must have felt very discouraged by that. You know, And, you know, it's a terrible thing, like, when there was this great big period of time when all these people in Judah were hearing the truth of the word of the Lord from Jeremiah for all that time. And I bet when they got taken away by the Babylonians in captivity, they would have been saying, why didn't we listen to Jeremiah? And, you know, when they were really suffering. And, you know, there's a word there today, today. And today you're in this place, you know, and you're here for such a time as this. Mm-hmm. And maybe there's somebody here today, you know, who hasn't made Jesus their Lord and Saviour. Somebody who needs to turn today to Jesus. Maybe you have other idols in your life and Jesus is not on the throne. Jesus is not the Lord of your life. Maybe today is the time that you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life. And if that's the case, I would love to pray with you after this. And so although he was prophesying to his own nation of Judah, God said he would prophesy to the nations. And that actually certainly happened, because everything God says is true.
Amen.
And his words were recorded in this living and active book that we've all got. And it's been translated into all sorts of languages all over the world. And, you know, the verses from Jeremiah, you know, some of us have probably got, like, for example, one that comes to mind, Jeremiah 29, verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." Probably some of us have got fridge magnets on our fridge for that text on. And that text is maybe very precious to so many of us in here. And, you know, there's lots and lots of verses within Jeremiah that we might have, that these are go-to verses for us. And yet that this prophet never really saw much of the fruit of his labour in his time. No wonder he was called the weeping prophet. You know, so God's question to Jeremiah, what do you see? So Jeremiah sees an almond tree. Now in the area where Jeremiah was from, it was known for its abundance of almond trees. And they blossom in the early spring. And it's a glorious sight to behold in that region. It really is. And it was almost a common thing really for him to see. Quite unlike Ezekiel's vision of the living creatures with the four faces of a man and an eagle and an ox and a lion with wings and wheels and intersecting wheels that were full of eyes and that rose from the ground and going where the Spirit of the Lord took them. That was quite a vision, wasn't it, that one, at his calling. But even though it might have seemed like a very simple thing in comparison that Jeremiah saw, God said, "You have answered correctly."
Yes.
And God said, "I am ready to perform my word."
Wow.
Yes.
Like Jeremiah, who was all settled, everything was mapped out, he was supported by his family, serving God from a place of security and comfort, till God came along and told him to step out from that place of comfort and go to the people and bring this message to them. You know, I believe God is speaking to us today and telling us to get out of our comfort zones and take his message to the people out there.
Yeah.
And at the end of the chapter, God says to Jeremiah, get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them, whatever I command you to. Assuring him that although the people will be against you, that's what he says, the people will be against you. Not terribly encouraging, is it? You know, the people will be against you. But he says, I, the Lord your God, will be with you. I'll rescue you. This was his call to action. Get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them, whatever I command you to. And I believe that God is challenging us today and saying, I am ready to perform my word.
Yeah.
Bill was saying to us last week, using the example of Jesus being the socket and plugged into God the Father, the source, and we who by surrendering our lives to Christ are now plugged into that supernatural source of divine power. And by choosing to activate that power, by stepping out in faith, we will experience the power of God working through us to be able to accomplish what God is calling us to do. So how do we go about and do that on a practical level? Well, there's lots of things that we can do, because God just asks us to take just simple, small steps, you know? And like, for instance, if we're going round this area, just go walk round. You know, the Bible tells us, you know, Jesus sent people out in twos, didn't he? So I wouldn't advocate going out by yourself. Go out with somebody else and go and pray around the area. Just pray and walk. See what God's saying. Get a feel of what it is that God's actually saying. Maybe you'll see somebody, you'll spot somebody maybe struggling with their bags. Maybe you can help them. Just small acts of kindness. It's just building relationships with people. Maybe pop in here. You know, it's open on Thursday, Friday and Saturday mornings anyway for coffee and that. There's people that are in here. Pop in here, have a chat with them, build up relationships with people. You know, that's a wee step. There's also, there's opportunities with Scripture Union here. We can go, we've got contacts here with, what's his name?
Tim Raines.
In the primary school and the secondary school, there's opportunities that people can go in, you know, there and serve with Scripture Union. And so we can serve in the community that way. So there are things that are open to us that we can just take small steps and start and just reaching people. It doesn't have to be anything great, just something small, and just see then God, as we step out and do the small things, God will then start opening the doors and reveal to us what he's wanting us to do. More and more things will happen. That's what happens. He's just looking for us to take that small step of faith. So these words just jumped out powerfully to me from the scripture. And I knew in my spirit that was a rhema word for us today, as a fellowship. And I believe that the Lord is saying to each one of us, today I have appointed you.
Mm-hmm.
Lighthouse Church, he says to us, I am ready to perform my word.
Amen.
He's ready to say, he's ready to do what he says he'll do. The ball is in our court. Are we ready to listen and take that step of faith? Because we have nothing to fear, because he is with us. Amen.
Amen.
Father,